Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to hour number two of Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. I'm Glenn Davis. Let's get right back into it. And part two with Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. The Dynamo next go to Philadelphia this weekend. You're back in training this week. Kubo Torres got 45 minutes. It was kind of a tough first half for him. He didn't seem to get the ball in the areas that he wanted to. Still a work in progress. I know there's a lot on his plate right now. Talk a little bit about him and hoping to get him on that score sheet and building a bit of confidence with him.
Yeah, it's like anything else. Strikers thrive in confidence. And the kid never played for 7 months at Chivas Guadalajara. He was obviously delayed coming into ourselves. And then from that moment on, you're playing catch-up. He'd been away with the Mexican Olympic squad last week and came back. And the truth be told, that we never took him out because playing poorly, his groins were tight, and we didn't want to exacerbate that problem and make it worse. So we're kind of protecting him a little bit. I do believe that come a good pre-season under his belt, you're going to see him back to his very best. He's still capable between then and now scoring goals towards the end of the season. But there's no doubt in time, Kubo Torres will show everybody what he's got, Glenn. Again, people have got to have an understanding. He's a young man. There's been a lot placed in his shoulders. Just give the kid a little bit of space. Let him go, let him work it, and let him enjoy what he's doing. He's just Dynamo, and you will reap the rewards of that.
Owen, how about Alex Lima? Because I know he's filled in a lot of areas for you, has played very well in a variety of places, really has been a wonderful signing. How's his health ahead of the Philadelphia game?
Yeah, well, again, he's a big doubt, Glenn. And this is the other thing. I mean, you've sat with me long enough, the dialogue we have, and you know we take, as I say, accountability and responsibility. Everything that goes with it. But there's no getting away from the issue that, you know, since the Copa America started, we've named the same team once, Glenn, all season. And it's not squad players that I'm missing. I'm missing the, as we'll have done, the DeMarcus Beasley, Alex Lima, Giles Barnes, Raul Rodriguez Miskins, Fonya Garcia, Luis Garrido. I mean, these are first picks in the team. And Alex Lima picked up the injury in the win over Vancouver when we won at home, as I said before, the week before that. So you've not went from beating Vancouver and beating LA Galaxy and being a bad team. And Alex Lima, to be fair to him, has did fantastic for us. He's a player I love. And when he's been fit and healthy, then he's in the team. I still think he'll be a doubt for Philadelphia, but we'd love to have him back. And that goes along with Garrido and Boniek and DeMarcus Beasley. The big frustration, as you know, Glenn, for me, is that our players, if I think now, if we talk about DeMarcus Beasley, Boniek Garcia, Luis Garrido now, Giles Barnes, Jermaine Taylor, they're five outstanding players that have been injured and missed loads of games for us. But they never get injured for the Dynamo, Glenn. They've been injured when they've been away representing their international countries. And that's a real source of frustration because we're paying their salary and then we're the Dynamo are left to bear the brunt of that, of missing top players for a huge number of games.
Yeah, you sent healthy players to the Gold Cup and Copa America and you got damaged goods back, and I think that's fair to say, right?
Well, yeah, but it's not one player, Glenn.
Yeah, it's five. Yeah.
I mentioned five players there. Jermaine Taylor, probably, will be out to the end of the season. Giles Barnes went to Copa America and the Gold Cup, get banged about. He missed games and everything else. Boniek Garcia missed 2 months from being away with Honduras, injured. Luis Garrido got taken for the Gold Cup. They never played him. Then he came back, and last week he picks up an injury playing in a friendly, and he's out with his hamstring. Another huge doubt for Philadelphia. He won't be ready for that, I don't think. And DeMarcus Beasley, who's been outstanding for us, goes to the Gold Cup with USA, and he comes back with a calf injury. He's not really played since.
Yes, it's been incredibly difficult. Now I would take this even further, how this affects your full squad, because then you might have to thrust some other younger people into situations maybe you wanted to ease them into around veterans, right? So does this kind of affects everything you're kind of do as you're building a team?
Well, it does in respect of, you know, when you, as you know, when you come into a club and you're looking to put implement your plan in respect of the continuity and consistency, we've not been afforded that luxury. So really we've probably had to go from game to game, juggling with what we've had in terms of who's been injured. Even this week, Raul Rodriguez has picked up the 5 bookings, so he'll be suspended. So you're always juggling the balls up in the air. But what we do, though, is we moving forward, still have a great opportunity. We're in the toughest conference in the West. We're in there with a real opportunity still to go and get on that run, win our games, and put ourselves in with a real chance of making those playoffs, which, I've got to say, if we do, will be an unbelievable achievement, given all the circumstances we've had to face.
Well, I want to go back to that, because you made a great comment to me, and I thought it was a fascinating comment, where you said that if the Dynamo get into the playoffs, you felt that this would be a bigger achievement than getting Burnley to the Premier League. Now, I kind of put that out there, and people reacted in a number of different ways, but it was definitely a hot button for people. A lot of people thought it was wonderful. Some were shocked that you would say that. Why don't you explain a little bit more why you would say something like that so they fully understand it? Because I kind of positioned it that, look, it's with the challenges of this league and all these other newness that doesn't come with the Premier League but does come with Major League Soccer.
Yeah, I should probably give balance to that, Glenn, in respect of once we're into the playoffs, being on then to win the MLS Cup, because I think that would be fair. And the reason for that is when you come in, as I did it, but this reminds me of Burnley so many factors in terms of the first season when we came in, we had to stabilise the club and get it up and running. And we did that at Burnley. And then into the second season, we knew the type of players that we needed to enhance the squad. So a couple of the players that we had, we moved them on for decent money and brought some young players in and put them into place. And then, obviously, as you know, had a fantastic league. We played 61 games that season, the leagues and the cups. And this is similar in many ways in the Dynamo, in respect of you've inherited a team that missed the Eastern playoffs by 10 points. So never at any time did we inherit a team of champions. Far from it. We inherited a team that missed the Eastern playoffs by 10 points. And we've added Raul Rodriguez really to that. As I said, obviously there was an investment in Kubo, who's only come in laterally. So Raul's probably the one who's played consistently. We did the trade with Alex Lima, some young players here and there. So all you're doing is you're looking then to improve, which we've done. We're in pitching now with 6 games to go, still to have a chance of the playoffs in the Western Conference. So we know everything we're putting in place is going to take us on the top. And all I was saying, I've never had circumstances that your players miss games because they're away playing international duty. And when they are, you have 5 or 6 of them that pick up injuries and miss games. So the reason for the statement and that comment I'm going to make to you was that given all the circumstances we've been through, it'd be an unbelievable achievement to get to the playoffs and go on and win the MLS Cup. That's what I was saying. Not just about the playoffs, but going on and actually winning a cup from the playoffs.
Gotcha. Owen, listen, as always, thank you very much for being so candid. Our listeners love it. I love it. Thank you very much each and every week for all your time. And good luck with the crossbar challenge down there.
Cheers, Glenn. Pleasure as always, Paul.
All right. So that's the Dynamo manager, Owen Coyle. Some interesting insight there ahead of the Philadelphia Union game this weekend. As we take a break, when we come back, we switch gears a little bit. We go to the Houston Dash. Their team MVP, 4-goal scorer, Kalia Ohai, will join us next.
Presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you, if you want to get your tickets to either the Houston Dynamo or Houston Dash, all you got to do is go over to HoustonDynamo.com. All kinds of packages are there. You can also get season tickets there. You can see players for the Houston Dash, like Kalia Ohai, Brittany Bach, Carly Lloyd, or the Houston Dynamo, Giles Barnes and company. So Bud Light, again, remind you, get over to HoustonDynamo.com, get into BBVA Compass Stadium, be a part of a group of like-minded individuals live and at games. It beats watching the game on TV. I can vouch for that. So thanks to Bud Light, our longtime sponsors. And Bud Light brings us right now a very talented young player. Year two in the NWSL. Kalia Ohai joins us now. Kalia, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
All right. So what did it mean to you to get named the team MVP for the season this year?
It was so amazing. And so I was just so honored. We had a much better year than last year. And I think there were so many players that stepped up, especially with all the national team players leaving. So to get that award was such an honor. And I was really, really just, I really was actually shocked and just really happy and thankful for that.
And again, Kalia Ohai was selected by the Dash number two overall in the 2014 NWSL College Draft. And by the way, had the winning goal in the final of the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in 2012. And I know you and I have talked about that before, but I want to focus on the Dash right now. Tell me how this year was better than last year.
It was better in a lot of different ways. I think, obviously, there was a lot of challenges with the national team players out and then back in, and I think we were just able to adapt better this year with the changes, with the new faces. We had so many new players coming in and getting hurt, and we were just able to adapt better, and we still didn't reach our goal, and we didn't think it was good enough to not make the playoffs. But as soon as we realized we weren't going to be in the top four, we just focused on every single game winning and finishing as high as possible, and we did that. So we're proud of how we ended after not making the playoffs.
Yeah, ended up in fifth. You know, how difficult was it with the World Cup going on this summer? Because I would look at Randy Waldron and go, I'm glad I'm not coaching that team, because it's just it's incredibly challenging when there's so much focus on this world event, and then you've got the three stars from this world event coming in and out. They're mixing media appearances and things. It has to be pretty difficult to kind of get yourselves focused on a game with all of this exterior stuff maybe influencing everybody.
Yeah, definitely. I think the hardest thing about that, and especially for Randy, I know I can't even imagine what he had to go through with that, was when they were finished with the World Cup, with all their success, we had all these fans and our appearance or our attendance record kind of went up, but we didn't know when they were actually going to play, and because of their media engagements and their victory tour, it was really tough to get on the same page as U.S. Soccer and say, they got to get back here and play for their NWSL teams, and they were saying they need rest, and so it was really tough. But even for us as players, it was tough because one day we thought they were going to play, and then the next day we didn't know, and so it was really hard, I think, for Randy to try to plan the games when he didn't even know who was starting till the day before or maybe the morning of even. And so that was a challenge, but the World Cup has already helped this league immensely, and that usually happens, especially with the performance of, like, Carly Lloyd in the final. We've had so many new fans out to the game, so we're so thankful for that, and we really, I mean, it's just helped so much, but we want to keep that going, and so yeah, we want to make sure that we can somehow get the national team players here more consistently. And it's going to be a challenge again with the Olympics coming up. And so I think for Randy, that was the most difficult part. But I think he did such an incredible job at keeping the team focused and keeping players that weren't sure whether they would dress or not, keeping them kind of engaged and ready to go no matter what. And so I'm really proud of Randy and how he handled that.
Dash finishing the year at 6-8-6 in fifth place, just behind the Seattle Reign, Chicago Red Stars, FC Kansas City, Washington Spirit. Does anybody stop Seattle, Kalia?
Well, to me, I think they're by far the best team in the league, but last year I thought the same thing, and Kansas City ended up beating them. So, I mean, on any given day, anything can happen, but to me, as far as playing each team, I thought Seattle was by far the best team.
Kalia Ohai, this year had 4 goals, 5 assists in 19 appearances. Take me back to the game where Seattle played here, because it just seems like they really don't have a weakness on that team. And they also, by the way, in the absence of Hope Solo, and I know you know this, but for my listeners, in the absence of Megan Rapinoe and Hope Solo, they didn't lose a game when they were off and away at the World Cup. It is just such a strong team with the likes of, you know, Winters in midfield, Fishlock, Kim Little obviously just seems to be on another level than anybody.
They're just an incredible team. And the thing that I love about Seattle is that they have a true style. And I think a lot of NWSL teams struggle with that. Each game it's a little different or they're changing their formation. But Seattle plays the same every single game. They have the same formation, the same style, and they're so good at it. And another thing that they have that a lot of other teams don't is that two of their players are the best players in the world, but they don't travel with their national teams. So like Fishlock and Kim Little, they weren't away for the World Cup, even though they're two of the best, the very best players in the world. And so that helped them a lot. And also Keelan Winters, who's not on the U.S. team, I think is one of the best midfielders in the world as well. And so just having that midfield consistently each game, it's difficult to play against. And you can change your formation. You can clog up the midfield to try to stop them. But like you said, Kim Little's just, she's on a different level, and so it's really tough. And then when they get Rapinoe back and Hope Solo, it's a great team. And I think their coach does a great job. Kim scores a lot of their goals, but she's not their only star, and they play it around, and so it's difficult to stop them. And I'm excited to see them play Kansas City in the final, because it's fun to watch. That's my favorite thing about it.
Yeah, and if you're trying to condense midfield against them, they've got wide players who can get forward as well. So, I mean, it seems as though they have an answer for everything.
Yeah, exactly. They really don't have much of a weakness, and especially when you have Hope Solo as your goalkeeper. If a team does get through you, you have Hope back there. So they really do. They have so many strengths, so it's difficult to kind of stop them.
Talking Houston Dash, talking women's soccer with Kaleo High this year again. 4 goals, 5 assists. Year number two, where did your game go as far as stretching and adding things to your game? What do you feel at the end of the season as you look at your body of work over 19 games?
Yeah, I think I've improved in little areas. I talked to Randy a lot about this, and I've played different positions this year than I did last year. Last year I was pretty much a striker. I played high the entire year, and this year we had changed our formation so much that at times I was playing in the midfield, and then I would kind of play more centrally, and at times I was playing wide. So it was difficult for me because I wasn't used to all that, and I was used to kind of just playing high and getting the ball and going at people. And I actually, it helped me a lot as a player, and I think I've improved in that aspect. And also, with my assists, I think I've improved more with finding people and setting people up, whereas last year was more just I'm going to goal. So I think that just in those areas and kind of playing different positions and getting more experience, I've improved a lot.
Did the playmaking side of it, the additional assists this year and setup play, did that come from the moving you into different areas and having you play the game from different angles and different positions?
Yeah, I definitely think that was one of the reasons, because I was playing deeper in midfield, and so it was more of a playmaking position. But I also think with our team improving so much with getting more players, getting Jess and some of the national team players, it was easier to find people, and it was easier to kind of look up and see someone in the box. Whereas last year, I think just as an expansion team, we struggled a lot offensively. And so I think naturally with having just such great goal scorers, it was easier for me to find people, and it was easier for us to combine up top and to have more options.
So you felt this year the movement and people available, creating angles off the ball, there was far more opportunity and far more options.
Yeah, definitely more options and just more personnel. And I mean, I love playing with Jess. She's a great finisher, and if you put pretty much anything to her head, she's going to finish it. And so just players like her and Carly, it completely changed our offense, because there's not one person that they can focus on, because there's just a lot of good goal scorers up there.
Now, you, like a lot of players in the off season, you know, there's real decisions to be made. You know, what are you going to do in the off season? If you're injured, obviously, Getting yourself back to full fitness is a piece that a number of your teammates are working on. They remain in Houston. A lot of people have left. A lot of people are going to go seek out and play in foreign countries. I know you have an opportunity in Australia. What are you thinking about doing in the off season, and kind of what's your plan?
Yeah, I've been talking to some coaches in Australia, and a lot of girls on our team have done that before in the past. And I think one, Ellie's the only one that's doing it this off season, and they've loved it. So I've been speaking with them. My only thing is that it's a pretty long season. It's almost 5 months. It's about 4.5 months. And so my body's still really tired from our season. So I'm trying to decide if I want to be in season for almost 11 months of the year. And then there's also another opportunity in Cyprus that I've been talking to the coaches in Cyprus. There's a team called Apollon FC that a lot of U.S. players have played in, and they've loved it there as well. So I've been trying to decide between those two, or whether I should just stay. I go back to UNC a lot, and I train with the UNC team as well. And so it's a hard decision because it's a really long off season, and you have to train, and you have to train with other people. So it's kind of just deciding what league is best for you and the length. And so, yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Thank you, as always, for coming on and being so candid.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
All right, that's Khalil High, a very talented young striker, only 23 years of age, a catcher with the Houston Dash. Get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com for the Houston Dash. We take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. We have Dynamo center back David Horst, who's had a very solid, very strong season this year for Houston. He joins us now. David, thank you for coming on the program.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, I know you're already looking ahead to the Philadelphia Union, but I'm going to take you a little bit back to initially start this interview with Real Salt Lake. And just injury problems aside, call-ups aside, we do know the depth and the breadth of that. Consistency, though, this year has been difficult sort of to find result-wise, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been. And I think I read a stat that said something like that we've only put out the same lineup like 2 games in a row this year, which, that is it's tough to get consistency when you're constantly, moving guys around, playing guys out of position. But at the end of the day, we are all still professionals, and we all know what our job is. And, we need to be able to do that every single week. And right now, we haven't been able to find that level, of consistency every week that we need to win games in week in and week out. And, that's very important here at the end of the year, because we have put ourselves in a position where we need to win every game. So we really need to be very, very wary of that consistency every week.
Yeah, we use that also on our television broadcast, and that is pretty remarkable. But isn't that the way this league's going now? Look, if we're going to be playing games during tournaments in the summer, there's always going to be guys gone. There's always going to be a percentage of people that get injured. So, I mean, managers know, right, that this is the way of the world now in Major League Soccer, and that, I guess, is going to push people to make sure that the depth of their roster is better, that has experienced players that can step in and get the job done, right?
Yeah, and I think managers all across the whole league want deeper and more experienced squads. But they're a little hamstringed by league rules, and but still they know what the rules are, and they have to make it work within that. And the good thing is that it does give young guys a chance to play, and we have quite a few good young players on our team, and this has given them a chance to get some game experience to improve in a game-like atmosphere and not just practice. And I think it's going to be really good for those guys moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That could really pay off down the road. David Horst joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Dynamo center back, having a very solid season this year. All right, how problematic, first of all, was Javier Morales, João Plata, movement, skill, and then you throw in Burrito, this new designated player, Burrito Martinez, who might have been a little bit of an X factor for many in Major League Soccer. This was a difficult team to play against, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know, they had Devin Sandoval up top, and then you put those three guys behind him, and when you have three guys like that, they can interchange and go wherever they want. They don't have to play defense. They don't have to stay in one area of the field, and that's very tough on a team that has a lot of moving parts and a lot of guys who haven't played together. Just communication is very important in that instance. And you know, there was a couple times in that game where, you know, those guys got themselves into good areas and we were not aware of it, and they hurt us. And you know, Javier Morales has done it for, you know, like 8 years now, where he's just, you know, been a playmaker, been scoring goals and causing havoc across the league. And Plata's done it as well, and now they bring in Martinez, and it looks like he's going to be doing the same thing. And it's just three very good attack options that they have. But you know, if we want to be a playoff team, we got to be able to stop guys like that. And you know, we didn't do it over the weekend. And you know, hopefully going forward, that we learn from this experience, and next time we're in that situation, we do a lot better than what we did.
David Horst joining us here ahead of the Dynamo against Philadelphia. It's a nationally televised game this Sunday. It's a big one for the Dynamo, and then they come home with two in a row after that. We'll speak a little bit about that in a second. But in the post-game press conference, Brad Davis called the Dynamo on this night fragile. What do you say to that?
Yeah, we were. There's no getting away from it. This was a very important game for us in the playoff race. And, you know, as a team, we did not show up. And, you know, we did. We were soft. We didn't put in the tackles where we needed to. And it showed by, you know, we gave up. They weren't really that good of goals by Salt Lake. And, you know, there was a little bit of softness about us. But, you know, that's not going to happen again. That's going to change going forward.
David Horst joins us here, and against the Philadelphia Union. Now, this is the first of three in a very short amount of time here. Basically, 7 days you're going to play three games, and I would think that once the dust clears after Colorado on Saturday at home here at BBVA Compass Stadium, we'll pretty much know what the playoff picture, I'm not going to say for sure, but there's a good chance things will have crystallized for what the Dynamo's future looks like playoff-wise. Talk a little bit about the Philadelphia Union. I know you're not looking ahead to Kansas City or Colorado yet. You're focused on Philadelphia. What is it about them that you got to be a little bit concerned about, or is this more about really just the Dynamo and the way they approach this game on the road?
Yeah, we're very, you know, we can only worry about ourselves right now. We got to go out and play our game and not be fragile or be soft like we were Saturday night. If we go out and we play our game, we've shown it this year on the road at home, that, you know, when we go out and play our game, nobody can stop us. So that's the first thing that we have to worry about. And then second of all, you know, we got to, you know, this is the biggest, every game from here on out is the biggest game of the season for us. You know, we got to win these games, and we got to make up points in the playoff race. So right now we are focused on Sunday, and we are focused on ourselves going into that game. We can't worry about, you know, what other teams are going to do. We got to go out and play our game.
Pressure now. Pressure on players to produce and perform. I would think at this time of the year, and it really should be on a daily basis, and I'm sure it is for most, but players got to be worried about jobs right now, right? Because, look, there's more change coming, I think, as Owen Coyle has alluded to, that, you know, this team is far from the finished product and what he wants it to be from a purpose of play standpoint, et cetera. So do you guys feel that in the locker room? You know, are you feeling that, look, livelihoods are at stake here. This is professional sports.
Yeah. I mean, guys, no matter if you're in the playoffs, if you're not in the playoffs, if you're winning, if you're losing, guys should always feel that pressure, because this is our job. Our job is to perform. Our job is to win. And, you know, if we're not doing that, then we should feel pressure. We have to go out there and, you know, do what we're paid to do. And, you know, we've done it sometimes this year and sometimes we haven't done it. So we really have to pick up our game and prove to this organization that guys want to be here going into next year. And, you know, it's going to be a real test here the last month and a half.
How's everything in training? Because I go out there, it looks like training's good. It looks like everybody's enjoying it. It looks like it's serious. People are working. You know, at this stage, and I know I asked you this earlier in the season, how has the transition been from one manager to another and his staff?
I think it's been great so far. Owen and the coaches, they have the guys, you know, everybody's got a lot of confidence right now. And, you know, we thought we had a lot of confidence going into that game on Saturday, but then when we got out there, we like you said, we were fragile and soft. And, so that's one thing we've really focused on this week is, you know, getting rid of that softness, getting rid of that fragility, but still having the confidence about us that we need, you know, to keep the ball and to get forward in the attacking third. And the coaches have done a great job with a lot of the drills that we've been doing this week. And you know, they've been around the block, and they've been in these situations where things, you know, playoff races, relegation races, things like that, come down to the end of the season. And they've been there, they've had the experience, and they know what they need to get out of us to be successful.
Now, I know the Dynamo, just by watching games and by the eye, you guys mix up your set pieces. I don't think there's any question, but you're one of the primary targets on it. You've gotten up and helped create goals off it. Is it frustrating for you as a center back not to get your first? Because I know you desire it big time.
Yes, it's very frustrating. You know, I've had quite a few chances, and you know, I've had balls at the post. I've had balls hit players on the line. I've hit balls right to the goalie. And I think it's the same thing with Kubo. You know, I just need to get that one goal for me to really give me that confidence that I can score. Because right now, I go up and I get a good look on goal, and it just doesn't go in for me. And it's like, all right, well, I guess I'm never going to score then. And that's sometimes what it feels like. And so I need to get that first one to kind of get the floodgates to open up. And, you know, hopefully going into this last part of the year, you know, I've been saving them for this last month and a half.
Yeah, let's hope you have one ready for Sunday against Philadelphia. Are you used as a decoy sometimes?
Sometimes I am. Like in the funny thing is in the LA games, you know, when Omar Gonzalez is marking me, you know, they try to pull me out of the middle a little bit because Omar's really big. And in the first LA game, the ball actually came right to me and we scored off of it. But sometimes they do use me as decoys, but most of the time, you know, they want me attacking the ball because I'm one of the best headers of the ball on the team.
It's essential, though, in this day and age in the modern game, right, with everybody being able to scout each other, that you do have a variety and you do have some sleight of hand when it comes to taking corners and set pieces, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's you need those training ground, you know, tricks and plays and things like that. And, I mean, you look at leagues all over the world they have. You look at that Man United game from last week when Daley Blind had a great goal off a, you know, like a trick play on a set piece. And, you know, teams, that's what sets teams apart is their ability to score, you know, on set pieces, because sometimes two teams are very evenly matched on the field, but it's their desire and their, you know, their willingness to score on those set pieces that really, really sets them apart.
David, thank you for being so candid. We always appreciate you coming on. You're a great interview. Thank you very much for taking us inside the Dynamo, and best of luck against Philadelphia on Sunday.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, Glenn.
All right. That's one and only David Horst. Hopefully he does get his first this Sunday against the Philadelphia Union. It's a big one. It's on national TV. We'll take a break here. As we go to break, it's a Bud Light break. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. Tickets there for the Dynamo and Dash. Bud Light, longtime sponsors of soccer on the radio. I can tell you, I don't get on the radio in mainstream without Bud Light and all of our great friends over there, including Camilo Rojas. Dynamo in action against Philadelphia, and Bud Light reminds you they will come home against Sporting Kansas City. They will come home against Colorado. It's three huge games in about 7 days. It will determine in a big way potentially the Dynamo playoff picture. Get over to HoustonDynamo.com, courtesy of Bud Light.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets for the Dynamo, the Houston Dash, season tickets, packages. It's all over there. Bud Light again reminds you to get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. Be there with like-minded individuals supporting your hometown team, or you might have been down there to support Argentina when they rolled through town with Lionel Messi. Bud Light, longtime sponsors of Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. And that brings us to a frequent and a great guest and a good friend, Tom Marshall, coming from Guadalajara, Mexico, to talk a couple of issues here tonight. Tom, thank you very much, as always, for coming on the show.
No problem, Ben. Always good to come on and talk soccer.
Well, with our link here in Houston, with Eric Kubo Torres on the Houston Dynamo, and of course, I know the amount of Mexican League fans that are here. Let's first talk about Monday, lots of turnover, lots of stirring of the pot at Chivas. Chepo de la Torre removed, the president of the club removed as well. What's going on there with Jorge Vergara, the owner?
Oh, it's difficult to understand exactly what is going on, but, I mean, it's huge changes again at Chivas. You know, like you said, Chepo de la Torre out on Monday, and then his brother followed him. Nobody really knows what's going on. Omar Bravo talked to the press last night, and he said, we don't really know who's in charge anymore of this club. It is honestly a disastrous situation, and a sad one for the millions of Chivas fans both in Mexico and the United States. You know, the club is battling against relegation. De La Torre seemed like the perfect person. You know, he's Chivas through and through. He played for the club. His family, you know, going back to two generations, have played for the club. And all of a sudden, you know, they lost 2-1 on Friday against Club Tijuana, and that's it. They're out. And now Mateus Almeida, the former Argentine international, former River Plate coach, he's in. He's got absolutely no experience of Mexican football. He's got a very young squad. And, you know, Chivas are really in a really difficult situation right now.
Yeah, absolutely stunning. Now, number one, is this results-oriented? And number two, is the fallback position for any Mexican club to hire an Argentine? That's the other thing that's always very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it is results-oriented. I think that Chivas have got 7 points from the first 8 games. It's not great, but, you know, they played 5 of those away and a couple of really difficult away games. And they've also, it's early days in the season. They've had a lot of injuries as well. So it seems very premature to me to bring someone with the success that Chepo de la Torre has had. And then to find, I mean, they reached the semi-final last season, which hits on your question about, you know, bringing in Argentine. I mean, yeah, other clubs, it can make sense to do well over there in Argentina, and they come up to Mexico, and it's hit and miss. I mean, it really is hit and miss with South American managers, just as it is with players, really. Almeida, honestly, there's been a real backlash here in Guadalajara about this appointment, because firstly, he arrived in the city before the news broke that Chepo de la Torre was out, which for me was a disgrace. I mean, that's just a complete lack of respect for the work he's done. He had limited experience in the Argentine First Division. I mean, he got River Plate promoted, and then, you know, it didn't last too long in the First Division, and they got Banfield promoted, and the same thing. So, you know, he's getting... Chivas are bringing in a guy who really doesn't have, not just in experience in Mexican football, but he doesn't even have much First Division experience. So it really is a baffling decision by Jorge Vergara to bring this guy up.
There's got to be more behind the story, and I'm sure you will uncover it in the next couple of days. Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Let's talk a little bit about Mexico's 35-man provisional roster. Tuca Ferretti calling up both the Dos Santos brothers. Anything else out of this provisional roster that jumps out to you, Tom?
I think it's pretty balanced squad. I don't think there's any huge surprises. I think we're going to see most of the team that we saw against Argentina play. I honestly think the headline was, you know, obviously Giovanni Dos Santos, Jonathan Dos Santos, Guillermo Ochoa, all being included, which kind of tends to hint towards that there was kind of some kind of punishment from the Federation for those tweets that Giovanni and Jonathan published right after Miguel Herrera swung at a TV commentator after the Gold Cup. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. I think it's pragmatic. It's what needed to be done. I mean, at the end of the day, Giovanni Dos Santos might not start against the United States, but, you know, if Mexico are down 1-0, 15, 20 minutes to go, you want Giovanni on there on the pitch. He makes things happen. He creates space for others. So I think he's done the right thing in including Giovanni. And, you know, the rest of the squad, I think Carlos Peña's back. People might know him from, you know, about from just before the World Cup. He was a rising star at that point, but has really dropped off. But he's hit form again, so Peña's back. Elias Hernandez from Leon's there. Jürgen Damm from Tigres is there. So, yeah, I think it's a good squad, and it's going to be interesting to see how he cuts it. But I think it's going to be, you know, what we saw against Argentina, I think is going to be the base of what we see from Mexico against the United States.
What about Peralta, scorer of goals in big games? Even though he may not be in perfect form, does that sometimes tip the hand of a manager?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with Peralta because if you look at it, you think that the other strikers that Mexico have more quality, you know, all round in terms of, you know, technical ability. And but managers tend to go with Peralta. I mean, Miguel Herrera went with him at the World Cup. And there is actually a rumour and people have been saying that Tuca Ferretti really likes Peralta. And that, you know, there is a good chance that he could even edge ahead of Chicharito. And it could be Jimenez Peralta. So, yeah, I mean, he's a good player. I just think he's lost a bit of pace. He's had quite a few injuries over the last couple of years, well, since the World Cup. I think he's a bit slower. You know, he battles very well, but I just don't think he has the quality of a Chicharito or a Gio or a Vela.
And the movement, mobility, no doubt about it. And we sometimes forget, don't we, Tom, that managers have preferences as to why they want certain players in a lineup, and that sometimes doesn't mesh with what the fan or the media likes. Let's go to Hector Moreno. PSV get a very, very big win yesterday over Manchester United. A day of agony and ecstasy for him, involved in a tackle that he was obviously very emotional about, the leg of Luke Shaw broken of Manchester United, but then scores a very, very important goal historically for PSV. Talk a little bit about Hector Moreno.
Yeah, no, he's obviously a big player for Mexico, and it was, you know, honestly, when he moved from Espanyol to PSV over the summer, it wasn't the most exciting move. Because I think a couple of years back and before the last World Cup, Moreno's kind of trajectory was kind of Premier League. He was going to go, you know, to a decent-sized club because, you know, he's done very well since he left Pumas and went to Europe. So, you know, when he went to PSV, I think there was a few doubters, but it was an okay move. It wasn't anything that was going to set the pulses racing. But, you know, for me, what we saw against Manchester United from Moreno, that's the type of games that I think Mexican players need to be involved in. Huge, huge games, pressure games, and against the elite of European football. I think it really helps him. And Moreno, you know, he's a top player. And, yeah, I felt sorry for him yesterday. I know on my Twitter feed I've been getting a lot of stick because I tweeted that, you know, Moreno, you know, obviously he's gone in hard there and he's unfortunately broken Luke Shaw's leg. But he's not that kind of player. He's a really nice guy off the field. And, all right, you know, that's happened, but you know it's definitely not intentional, and it's just one of those things that sometimes happens on the field, you know. And then he goes and scores a goal. So yeah, a massive day for Moreno, and you know, I mean, just moving back to that US game, he's such a big player for Mexico now, Hector Moreno. Not just now, moving in the future as well when Rafa Márquez finally retires, if he ever does. Moreno's the leader of the back line for Mexico.
All right, we talk about the growth of healthy pressure in the media here in this country. We just had Lionel Messi in town, and it was amazing how one of the top three or four world's most recognized athlete was essentially ignored by mainstream media here. Just fascinating. So we talk about the Houston Dynamo and guys like Raul Rodriguez, who's a defender who's played at Espanyol and has had more pressure playing in Spain as opposed to in the United States here, where you don't get that healthy pressure yet in some of the markets. Now, I believe you do in the Seattles, the Portlands. We could go on and on. Here in Houston, it's still something that clearly is in its infancy and needs to grow and develop in the future. So, look, we know that Club America, we know that Tigres, we know that Monterrey, we know that Chivas, Cruz Azul, there's real healthy pressure on those teams. But some of these other clubs, like Chiapas, León, who else would I put in there? Maybe Monarcas, Puebla. Do they still have the players in those clubs? Did they get real healthy pressure in those markets and those cities in Mexico?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does depend on each one as well. So, you know, Chiapas, I'd say, not so much. I mean, it's a very small club, you know, and then, you know, a club like León, definitely. I mean, León's a small city, and it's absolutely intense, the passion there. Same with Club Tijuana. So, yeah, it depends. But, yeah, I think it does exist. In general, in Mexico, it does. I mean, there is an intensity. I mean, you go to the shop in the morning, and you look at the newspaper, and it's, you know, there's a footballer on the front. Or, you know, you get the sports newspaper, and you go on Twitter, it's all over. I mean, there is an intensity about it. I think people recognise players when they're out, which is a big thing. I mean, you know, it's something, it's difficult to deal with if you've been recognised all over. I mean, you go and play a bit of golf, everyone will recognise you. You go to for food, everybody recognises you. So it's definitely, I mean, there is that kind of intensity about the game. But yeah, more places some places more than others. And obviously the big clubs, Club America, Chivas, Cruz Azul and Pumas are the big ones. But then also the smaller towns that kind of have done well, which I wouldn't include Chiapas, I wouldn't include Puebla necessarily. But yeah, León, Club Tijuana, Veracruz are doing quite well now, so yeah.
Yeah, because it was interesting. I did an interview with Kubo Torres that has been on this show tonight, and you know, he basically said he didn't really feel the pressure like in Mexico here, and that is dangerous because I think it's dangerous for a lot of players here in the United States. If you're not getting the real healthy pressure from the outside, you know, it's easy to kind of sit in your own bubble and do self-analysis of performance. Just amongst the culture of a team. So very interesting there. Listen, Tom, as always, we thank you so much for coming on the program, and we look forward to having you on again real soon. And by the way, I hope you had a good time at the Lucha Libre last night.
Yeah, no, it's always a good time, and if anyone's listening and ever come down here, then it's definitely something that is worth doing. I mean, sometimes it's just as interesting watching the people watching as the wrestlers. It's a hilarious experience.
Yeah, you didn't get hit over the head with a folding chair or anything, did you?
No, but if you get the seats right down the front, it's unbelievable how close the wrestlers are, and you know, moving amongst the crowd and stuff. It's it's great times, good times.
All right, Tom, I'm redirecting you away from Lucha Libre back to Liga MX. Thank you very much, as always, for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. Thanks for the invite.
You know, one and only Tom Marshall, and great insight from him down in Guadalajara, Mexico. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.